would he keep? What would he withhold from you if he's willing to give his own son? Now I'm thankful because he gave his son, because his son gave his life, because the Holy Ghost gave his presence, because God gave us forgiveness. Now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I'm glad I have peace with God and peace of mind. I have life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. But he abides in death. But I'm glad that the liver lives in me. Amen. I'm glad I have life, and life more abundantly, life eternal, life everlasting. I have the life of the Son, and he dwells in me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I thank the Lord for that. Not only is He the life as in the source of life, but He's the reason why that I live. Matter of fact, the songwriter said, He's the only reason I live, but oh, what a reason. He's the dearest thing in my life. Amen. And I praise the Lord that I know what it is to have the Lord in my life. And without Him, I'd have no life at all. And I used to, as I was a boy, I'd watch them ball games. And back in them days, as I was a kid, they had these ads. This beer company had come on the TV and had these ads talking about coming over to what living was really all about, and that this was the life and the high life and all this kind of stuff. But I tell you, that's the low life. You want to know where the high life is? You know what living's all about? It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And saved folks are the ones that know what it is to really live. That's why we sang the song back about 25 years ago, I Just Started Living. I found me a brand new life, and I'm glad He changed my direction, washed away all of my strife. I'm a newborn believer, got a holy infilling. My load's getting lighter, my days are getting brighter. I just started living. Amen. My little cousin Caleb used to sing that song whenever he was small. That was one of the first ones that he and his sister learned how to sing, and he couldn't speak clearly yet. And he would sing, I just started wigging. Just started wigging. I found me a brand new wife. And if y'all find you a brand new wife, you're liable to start wigging or anything else. There's no telling what you'll do. But it's a blessing this morning to be able to live, to have life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking in the book of Matthew in chapter number 6 this morning. If you'll look with us in the Gospel according to St. Matthew in chapter number 6. And I want to read several verses here. This is a familiar passage of the Word of the Lord. My granddaddy says that all Scripture should be familiar Scripture if we read our Bibles as we should. But this is in the midst of one of the most familiar passages of the Word of God. Matter of fact, I would suppose that probably a great number of you have this portion of Scripture committed to memory. At least several verses of it. And this morning I want to share with you some things out of this passage of the Word of God. And matter of fact, last night I started to tell my children a little bit about this, what I was going to preach today, and I began to tell them what the Bible said, and I was sort of quoting some of the verses, and Caitlin just picked up where I left off, and she quoted the rest of the portion of Scripture for me. Matter of fact, corrected me when I stumbled a time or two trying to quote it to them as to how that it was actually supposed to go. This is a familiar passage for a lot of folks, but I feel like it's time for us to come back to this particular place this morning and study again in the Word of the Lord here in Matthew chapter number 6. If you found your place, if you're able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. Matthew chapter number 6 and in verse number 24 is where we'll begin our reading in our text this morning. The Word of God says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them.
Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spoil. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Now, our text verses this morning contain a host of potential texts to preach from. I preach from these verses time and time and time and time again. I would love this morning to be able to just take our text and our thought, and maybe will in some time in the near future, on the phrase take. No thought. Take no thought. That is, don't fret or don't worry. And no telling how many times we have preached on, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That was one of the first verses that I committed to memory as a child being brought up in church. That was one my mother taught us as children. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I appreciate all of these verses. Matthew 6 and 24 is another one of those verses that I committed to memory as a child. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. I actually used that verse, Brother Thomas, November the 5th in 1989, when I preached my first message. Way back when, I used that verse in verse 24. I had also used Luke chapter 16. We were talking about the choice between two. And there is a choice between two masters. You cannot serve the God of this old world, the flesh, the natural man, and serve the Lord at the same time. Mammon is literally finances, but more, my friend, it's not finances that people are interested in. And Jesus clarifies it later in these verses. It's what finances can do for the natural man. That's what people are interested in. You cannot serve the natural man and serve God at the same time. Take no thought of what you shall eat or drink, or what you shall be, or wherewithal you shall be clothed. In other words, don't take any thought. Don't fret. Don't worry about the natural things. Don't dwell on the carnal things, but rather put your heavenly, or your mind on the heavenly things, on the high things, on the holy things, on the things that honor God. This text we're reading this morning comes from the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord's message in this portion reminds us that we cannot be a servant to God and to carnal desires at the same time. And then he reminds us, if we will trust and obey God, that he will meet the needs of the carnal man. All these things shall be added unto you. The reason why that many times the needs of the carnal man are not met is because we don't prioritize the needs of the spiritual man. If we seek after the things of God first, and then these other things will be added unto us. And he said for us not to worry over our meals in verse 31. That is, food or water. Not to worry over our materials in verse 31. Our clothes or raiment. And not to worry over the morrow in verse 34. That is, our future. Oh, that's where much of our worry comes in. and worrying over the morrow, worrying over what has not even shown up yet, worrying about what has not even transpired, worrying about what might come but has not yet come, but we anticipate could come, and we sit and worry and waste today over what tomorrow might bring. And one person said one time, worrying really works. I said over 90% of the things that I worry about never happen. So it must really be effective and really work. But the fact of the matter is, we spend our lives and waste our lives at taking thought of these things. And yet God is trying to direct us back in this passage of Scripture to Him, to trust Him, to seek Him, to believe Him, and to consider how He meets our needs, and to realize that God in heaven knows that you have need of these things, and that He can meet our needs, and that He can feed us and clothe us and take care of our future, and we do not have to spend our lives in fret and worry over these things. In order to illustrate this, my friend, and how we can put it all into God's hands, and how we can trust Him with everything, He tells us to consider the fowls of the air. He tells us to consider the flowers of the field. But this morning I can preach on both the flowers and the fowls, and so I'm interested especially in verse 26, where the Bible says, "Behold the fowls of the air." Behold the fowls of the air. I asked my children last night what that means, "Behold the fowls of the air." And they said, "I don't know, the birds." I said, "Yeah, but what about the birds?" I'm not real sure, Dad. "Well, it means we are to look at them. We are to pay attention to them. We are to watch them and to learn from them." When Jesus said, "Behold the fowls of the air," my friend, He said that they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? We are to behold the fowls of the air and to learn from them. You see, the birds aren't worried this morning. They have not lost their song in fret and frustration. Their food is always supplied. God takes good care of them. And Jesus said, "Are you not much better than they?" And the answer, of course, is yes. My friend, if God would feed a dirty old bird and never let him go hungry, if God would feed my friend a tiny little sparrow, if God would feed my friend a stinky old chicken, then surely He would feed you and me and take care of us. Are ye not much better than they? You see, there are almost 10,000 bird species in the world known to mankind. That's hard to imagine this morning. But here for just the next few minutes, I want to call off the name of every last one of those 10,000 for the remaining part of the message. No, I will not do that. I'll not read off to you an exhaustive list of every bird known, species known to humanity. But mockingbirds, blue jays, woodpeckers, buzzards, turkeys, eagles, cardinals, God takes care of them all. My favorite bird, when it is fried, the chicken, God takes care of them all. Amen. God created all the fowls of the earth on the fifth day of creation. He made them all. He feathered every single one of them. God did it, friend. It's the work of the Lord. The reason why the feathered fowls fly in the atmosphere above is because God brought them from the deep and sent them to their place of abode in the skies. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20 said, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." It's almost as if the picture is such that the Lord brings the fowl of the air slam out of the ocean. He said, "For the sea to bring forth the water, to bring forth abundantly." And the Bible says at the end, "And God created the great whales and every living creature that moveth, and the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. It's remarkable how the Lord brought them forth and feathered them and gave them instincts to build their nest and to be fruitful and to multiply. And the answer to the age-old question may be found in the Word of God this morning. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? And it was the chicken. Amen. The Lord gave us the chicken. He created a mature bird and then told it to be fruitful and to multiply. I have at my house right now, and I forgot to bring them today, 3 empty cartons. 3 empty cartons where there once were eggs, and I got to get them back by the child, Sister Tammy, as I've emptied those 3 out, and the one that's left in the refrigerator is emptying out, and I ain't going to get no more eggs if I don't get them some cartons back. But the Lord saw fit to give us a grown animals, grown, and my friend, grown chickens, grown birds. Had He only given us eggs and no chicken to hatch them, there would have been no chicken. What came first was the chicken, not the egg. And the Lord made them, and then not after He made them, He fed them, and He's been feeding them every day since. And the Lord, it's His creation. Behold the fowls of the air. And God made it all, and He sees after it every day. And after He made it all, He appointed everything just as it was supposed to work. And then He directed our attention to them as His creation, for us to learn what God does and how He takes care of them, and us to realize that we are much better than they. And if He takes care of them the way He does, then surely He'll look after us. Amen. So take no thought this morning. I may preach that even as of yet. Take no thought. And I'm looking this morning at the fowls of the air. Behold this morning the fowls of the air. I want to say, first of all, we need to behold their supply. Their supply. Do you realize in verse 26 the Bible said that they sow not? You've never seen a bird plowing a field and planting a field and sowing, my friend, to gather a harvest. You might have seen a mule dragging a plow, but I dare say there's nobody in the building ever seen any bird drag a plow. I don't know that an ostrich could even drag a plow. You've never seen them plowing the field or sowing a crop, and yet you've never seen one starve. You've never seen them gather up the harvest and put it in a barn. You've never seen them build a barn, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them every single day. Isn't it remarkable, friend? He feeds them. Hey, they don't sow, they don't gather, they don't reap, they don't store, and yet not a one of you has ever seen a bird starve to death. You've seen them hit by cars and shot with guns and eaten by dogs and caught and killed by cats, but you've never seen one that has been starved to death. And that's because God feeds them every single day. Hallelujah. I read back about 10 or 12 years ago that if Bill Gates were to liquidate his entire $1 billion empire, if he were to liquidate it all and use it to buy bird seed, that he could feed the birds of the earth for under 2 weeks before he would go completely bankrupt. He does not, the richest man in the world, does not have the wealth to feed the birds of the earth for 2 weeks. And yet God has fed them every day since the 5th day of creation, and not a single bird has gone without. And again I say, are you not much better than they? Behold the fowls of the air. If He'll feed them, He'll feed you. If He'll take care of them, He'll take care of you. We can trust in the Lord this morning for our supply. God takes real good care of me. And not only that, the Lord has fed those birds, and it has not put a dent into the wealth or the treasures of heaven. God is not dead and heaven is not bankrupt. And He's still feeding the birds and He's still feeding us. Amen. A matter of fact, God feeds them with scraps and with leftovers, and my friend would refuse, and the things that we don't even want, God, and takes what is left over from the rest, and he feeds the birds of the whole world. No wonder that prodigal son would say in the far country, "Of my father, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and yet I perish with hunger. I know what I'll do. I'll arise and I'll go unto my father and I'll say, I see him against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of your hired servants." He knew that the father had bread enough and to spare, and I'll tell you, God has bread enough and to spare for you and for me. He can prepare a table in the wilderness. Amen. He can rain manna down from heaven. He can feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Amen. He can feed 4,000 with 7 loaves. He can feed your family and mine. Take no thought of what you shall eat or what you shall drink. And don't worry over your meals this morning. Our Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Learn to pray the way Jesus taught us to pray and say, "Give us this day our daily bread." And the Lord knows how to feed us every single day. Oh, praise his dear name. Psalm 34 and 10 said, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." And Psalms 37, 25 said, and David said, "I have been young and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed of begging bread. The bird does not simply sit in his nest with his mouth open, however, and wait for somebody to come along with a shovel and to fill it up." Amen. My friend, I read a blog from a pastor last night who said he was sitting on the porch praying and watching the birds in the yard. He said some would dig and scratch and search in the earth. The woodpecker would peck on the tree and dig beneath the bark searching for something to eat. I said the chickens were scratching on the ground and pecking for worms. And yet all of them were finding food in the places where they were searching. It was just that simple. And God had put it there for them. And all they had to do was search for it. It reminds me of what Jesus promised a chapter over from where we read this morning. "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. And knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And unto him that knocketh it shall be opened." I tell you, God hears and answers prayers. And if we're willing to be diligent, my friend, and God will take care of us. If we'll be obedient to him, seek first the kingdom of God, and God will see after our needs. Amen. Amen. You may not always have T-bone steak, but God will know how to give you some joy. My friend will cook cornbread and beans. Amen. He'll know how to teach you how to love biscuit and gravy. Amen. And if you don't know how to love biscuit and gravy, I'd advise trying that. Amen. It'll help you. It'll stick to your ribs. Amen. It'll be held to your navel. Hallelujah. That's exactly right. And marrow to your bones. A growing boy will benefit from biscuit and gravy. And he'll grow and grow and grow and grow. Amen. And behold, they're supplied. And they have plenty to eat. God feeds the fowls. And then secondly, I want to say this morning, behold, their shelter. You realize God put it in their minds to build a nest. Every fowl that he brought up in creation and tossed them into the air, he did not say, "All right, y'all fly till you fall." But for every one of them, he put it in their instinct. He put it in their little bird brain for them to put together what's necessary and build a nest with it. I mean, it'd be hard for me to build a bird nest. It's hard for me to build a bird house. But yet yet these birds with these little bird brains have built nests everywhere. I have one right now. She is determined to build a nest on my house somewhere. As she got into the garage and she built a nest on top of the garage opener, I kept telling the kids, quit leaving the door open to the garage. That bird's driving me crazy. Then she'd get in and we couldn't get her out. And she'd go berserk. And she's one of those mud hens. They build the nastiest nest in the world. And she'd build it right over top of my car on the garage door opener. Then when you open the garage, all the nest comes falling apart and lands right on top of my Buick. And it'd make me very upset. And then you try to get her out and she feels like you're in her house. And she starts doing this flying around in circles thing and then dive bombing you like a kamikaze pilot in World War II. And I mean, she'll come down there and try to land on your head. And she'll hit you in the head if she can get it just right. I mean, pop, right on top of the head. And then circle around again and pow, back on top of the head. And I can't get her out. And finally, I got the broom. I got everything I could to get her out of there. I tried getting a rake. I mean, I did everything I could to put her out. Finally, I waited until it was dark outside. And I snuck out where she couldn't see me. I turned all the lights in the garage off and turned all the lights on the outside the garage on. I started beating the walls. I started screaming and hollering like I was yelling at cows. After a while, she went berserk flying around everywhere and flew to the light. I shut the front door of that garage and shut the back door. And Brother Eddie, if she didn't come back in the side door, my name ain't Toby Powers. Amen. I mean, she'd come back in the side door. And then I finally got her locked down. 2 days later, Brother John, I go out onto the porch and I look on the downspout of the house and she's building there. And there ain't no door to keep her away from there. And I knocked down the nest and I knocked down everything, built the dirt and I scraped it off and took a water hose and I squirted down the water, the downspout of the house and I cleaned it up and then knocked it all down, took that nest that she had, threw it like a frisbee out into the woods, and got rid of it. The next day I come back just as pretty as you've ever seen, about this big around right back on that downspout. I knocked it down, cleaned it up, threw it out in the woods. I thought to myself, if I could shoot her, I'd kill her, but she's so fast I'd blow the house all to pieces trying to kill her. I mean, she's horrible. That bird, I'm telling you, if she's not devil possessed, she'll do till a devil possessed bird gets here. And I got her knocked down off of that downspout, and finally about the fifth time she gave up, and I looked out there while I was cutting grass yesterday, she figured out the house has got more than one and she's built on another downspout. She's determined, but the Lord put this instinct in her. It is part of His creation. And my friend, God put these birds, feathered them, and put the fowls in the air. But He didn't say, fly till you fall, and then you're just a goner. And God made a plan for when they got weary. Are you listening to me this morning? God made a plan for them when they got tired. God made a place for them for when they no longer could fly. Where they can land, where they can rest, where they can find shelter. I'm saying this morning, would you behold the fowls of the air? Do you realize this morning, if you're weary, if you're tired, if you feel like you've flown till you're about to fall, I'm glad God has made us a sanctuary this morning. I'm glad God has brought us into His tabernacle. I'm glad God has feathered us a nest where we can get some help from the Lord. And Job chapter 39 verse 27 said, and doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock and upon the crack of the rock and in the strong place. God has made a way for their shelter. You see, an eagle builds his nest as high as possible. The bald eagle prefers tall trees and builds in the very top or the peak of the trees. The golden eagle prefers cliffs and rocky ages and mountainous regions. And the nest is built high for protection and serves as a launching pad for her eaglets. And it's a high place for the father to survey the territory and to find the things that they need to sustain their family. I'm saying we have a nest here this morning. And if you hadn't figured it out, we're sitting in it. And it's a high place. And this is our sanctuary. And this is our nest. By the way, it's the best place in the world for you to bring your little eaglets to bring your family to bring your children to. It's the best place in the world for a mama to gather her little ones around. It's the best place in the world for a father to get away from the things of this old world and to survey the world around him and understand how God can use the things around him to help his family and to meet the needs of his family, my friend. The eagle's nest is built for a lifetime by both parents. What a novel concept. And Jesus said, "Behold, the fowls of the air." Isn't it amazing how quickly and swiftly we flee away from our nests? Isn't it amazing how swiftly we'll forsake the thing that has been our place of safety? Isn't it how remarkable how little that it takes to drive us away from the things that really matter in life? Isn't it remarkable how the smallest thing will keep people from coming back to church? I mean, friend, they have Brother Thomas and all his crew show up down at Walmart, arrest somebody for stealing from Walmart, shoplifting, arrest somebody for fighting in the parking lot, and next week we'll be right back at Walmart buying stuff again. And yet they let the smallest little thing go on at church. And we'll say, "Well, you know, I just decided not to go back down there. You know, they've been having trouble and everything." Well, they had trouble everywhere else that you went back to. And yet you went back, but you won't go back to church now if they've been having some trouble down there. Don't let Satan this morning drive you away from your nest. Don't let him rob you of your shelter. Don't let him take away this place that is a sanctuary unto us. Amen, friend. This is our shelter. And it is built, the Bible, or the scientists tell us, and the eagle's nest is built by both parents, and they remain there for a lifetime. Oh, how our families could benefit from that if moms and dads would dig in their heels and commit themselves to their churches and their families and their children, and my friend, live a life of responsibility and of unity one with another. Amen. The eagles will not build their nest near mankind or near birds that are not like them. They have to be separated from all the rest. Oh, how we could learn from the fowls of the air this morning. I tell you, you can't walk in lockstep with this whole world and still walk hand in hand with God. Amen. You cannot run with them and walk with Him. You're going to have to choose. No man can serve two masters. No man can, friend. If you're going to live with this whole world and do what they do, then you cannot enjoy the blessings of God. You cannot live like Lot and expect to be blessed like Abraham. Amen. The eagle's nest is separate from all others. Come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It breaks my heart to see how much compromise and sin has taken over the churches that I'm seeing around me, and preachers that I'm seeing around me, and the corruption that's in religion. Oh, how we need to come out from among them. Preachers that I used to have confidence in, and men that I have preached for and with, and have preached for us, that have gone sideways, and to my friend today, are living rough lives and difficult lives. It's heartbreaking, and they're not even ashamed of it. And they'll take pictures of their escapades and post it on social media. I'm so sick of
seeing half-naked preachers on their Instagram and Facebook pages running about with their shorts on and no shirt. And my friend then Sunday want to make a live video of my friend from their church houses. And may the Lord have mercy on us, friend. It's time once again to sit out and to be separate from this old world.
Amen.
And that's about as unpopular in this generation as a porcupine in a balloon factory. But it's still right. Amen. And come out and be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And God help us to do it this morning. And God help the man of God to live it and to lead it. Amen. That's exactly right. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 2. I got to get back on track. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust? My buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. So often we dwell in the low places amongst the rubble of this old world, fraternizing with Satan and hindered by sin. But Jesus is saying to us, behold, the fowls of the air, come up higher. God didn't make you to wallow in the dirt like a hog. He made you to fly in the heavens like a bird. I tell you, God didn't make you to dwell in the slop buckets of old sinful Moab, or to live with leeks and garlics and melons down on stinky Egypt's land. But He's calling us into a land of milk and honey, to a higher place, to a higher plane of living. He's saying, friend, come up higher. Praise God. And Psalm 61 and 2 said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. I quit living the low life. I trust in Jesus and come up higher. Amen.
Amen.
You think of it what you want to this morning. I'm not singing, I got friends in low places.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I got friends in high places.
Amen.
I got a friend in the highest place.
Amen.
Woo! Behold their supply, their shelter. Behold their song. Did you know it is in the bird's nature to sing?
Yes, sir.
All of them sing, best of my knowledge. All of them don't make the same sound, but they all sing their own song. They all have a song. The nightingale holds up to 300 different love songs in his repertoire. How about that? The canary can take 30 mini breaths in a second to replenish his air supply to sing his song. The cowbird uses 40 different notes, and some of them are so high that we cannot even detect them with human ears. The chaffinch sings his song up to 500,000 times in a season. They all have different songs, but when a bird sings, it can be heard. The best time to hear the bird's song is at dawn, when the sun first comes up. The dawn chorus is one of the marvels of nature all around the world. Birds world over show the greatest amount of singing activity just around dawn, from English manor and woodland all the way to tropical rainforest. When the sun breaks in the morning and begins to shine, and the birds begin to sing, that's a reminder of what God's Word said in Psalm 30 and 5. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Birds can sing and call for many different reasons. Birds sound an alarm when an enemy approaches. They sing to attract a mate. They make territorial sounds to warn other birds not to trespass. Some birds intimate or imitate the calls of other birds. Hens call their chicks to come and to gather food or shelter. Their songs are how the birds communicate with each other. And I wonder this morning, why are you you behold the fowls of the air. I'm asking you, do you have a song? Have you hung your harp on a willow tree and said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Oh, my friend, are you redeeming the time? For the days are evil. Will you not be drunk with wine? Where it is excess, singing the songs of this whole world. I'm singing the old lost man, drunk man's song. But he said, be filled with the Spirit. I'm speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. I'm asking you this morning, do you have a song to sing? Do you have a song? Psalm chapter 40, David said, I didn't have a song. I was waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. I had a cry, but I didn't have a song. And He said, He heard my cry, and He brought me up also out of a horrible clay, out of the miry pit, out of the horrible clay. And He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And then He said, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise in our God. Many shall see it in fear and trust in the Lord. Psalm 33 and 3 said, singing to Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. Psalm 149 and 1 said, praise you the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Sing unto the Lord with a new song in His praise in the congregation of the saints. I wonder today, do you have a song to sing? Behold their song. So this morning, behold the fowls of the air, behold their supply, their shelter, and their song. And then finally, I want to finish this morning with this. Behold their soaring. They're soaring. It is no secret that a trait specific to birds is the ability to fly. Now, it didn't take me a lot of thinking to come up with that line. Horses, lions, polar bears, giraffes, all are majestic and interesting creatures. But the Lord didn't tell us to behold them. He just said, behold the fowls. You know what a horse, a giraffe, a polar bear, and a lion cannot do? They can't fly. The Lord, had He told us to behold anything else, we would have been grounded. Had the Lord told us to watch any other creature, we would have been stuck to this whole world. Had the Lord told us to behold the earthworm, we'd have been beneath the ground. Had He told us to behold the catfish, we'd have been muddling around on the bottom of the waters. Had He told us, my friend, to behold the great white sharks, we'd have been lost at sea. But He said, behold the fowls of the air, and now we can soar like the eagles. He reminds us that our place, our abode, is not in the dirt of this whole world, but He wants us to come up high. He wants us to get up where He is. He wants us to rise above the filth and the muck and the mire of this old dirty world, and to go to a place where the other animals cannot fly. Amen. Sometimes Brother John will say, y'all pray for me, I'm flat out in the morning, but he does not mean that literally. He means he's going to get on an airplane. He's riding an airplane, and the airplane's going to fly. He's just hoping he remains contained safely all the way to the place of landing. Brother John can't fly. I don't know if y'all know that or not. There's a lot of Christian folks, though that they are made to be birds, cannot fly. Jesus told us to behold the fowls of the air. He wants us to know that our potential is much higher than the place we usually dwell. It's much higher than the carnal world where our minds are most softly invested. Most often we're thinking about what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we're going to put on. How we're dwelling on the meal. We are dwelling on the material. We're dwelling on the morrow. And yet God says, I want you to come up higher than that. I want you to rise above that. Look at the fowls in the air. You too can rise above the things of this whole world to a higher place. And there are heavenly precepts. And there are heavenly places. There are heavenly
heavenly purposes that can breathe beneath our wings and take us higher than we've ever been. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Exodus 19 and 4 said, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." If I can get you to fly high, if I can get you to rise above this old world, then you can be closer to me. Does anybody want to be closer to Him? The eagle was made to soar higher than any other bird. He flies above the crows. He flies above the hawks. He flies above the distractions of the other birds in all of the world. An eagle was never meant to live on the ground. He soars in the heavens. He looks in the face of God and says, "This is where I'm meant to be. You created me for this elevation." Oh, would you realize today that God did not create you to peck around and scratch around in the dirt, but He made you for fellowship with Him, to live on a higher plane, to enjoy a higher place, to dwell in heavenly precepts. And my friend, rise above the things of this old world. I'm finishing with this thought and this illustration. She'll come with a song. Shared some of this last night with some people that might have been reading my Facebook posts. There's a story about an Indian brave who put an eagle nest or found an eagle egg in its nest and stole it and put it in the nest of one of his chickens. And the eaglet in that egg was hatched out by the hen, along with all the other chickens that were in the nest. Having hatched with all of what he appeared to think was his siblings, he thought he was a chicken. And he did what all the other chickens did. And he scratched around in the dirt, and he pecked around, and he looked for worms, and he lived his life with his head stuck on the ground. Lived his life looking down and scratching around in the dirt. One day he saw an eagle flying over in the sky, and he thought to himself, "What a beautiful bird. I sure would love to be able to fly like that. I sure would love to be majestic and powerful, soaring in the heavens like that." But he thought, "Alas, I'm just a poor old chicken, and I cannot fly up so high." And he died of old age, still thinking he was just a chicken, never trying to fly. He never realized his full potential. But all he had to do was to simply spread his wings and make an effort. Had he only tried, he would have been amazed with the results he would have achieved. Because God didn't make him to spend his life with his head stuck in the dirt, scratching for a worm. God made him to fly. Oh, friend, so often you've spent your life scratching around in the dirt. So many Christians never knowing their full potential of what they could have done. They live a life of regrets. Seek to soar high and to reach your fullest potential for God. Don't be like the baby eagle and think you're just a chicken. Reach out and press toward the goals God gives you for your life. Soar into the heavens. Look into the face of God and say, "This is where I'm meant to be. You made me to dwell in an elevation just like this." Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Would you realize life can be so much more than what is here and now in the sod under the sun. There's a higher place where you can dwell. And the Lord will help you. If you'll behold the fowls of the air, you can rise above the stench of this old world. Everybody stand. I've preached to you what the Lord's laid on my heart. I wonder this morning, are you dwelling in the low places? Are you fretting and worried about the material, the meal, the morrow? Or would you spread your wings this morning? You may be thinking, but I'm just a chicken. Have you ever tried to fly? Have you ever even tried to give God your best? You ever sold out and been willing to just say, Lord, I'll do whatever? Some of you used to fly, but you've been grounded for a long time, and God did not intend for it to be that way. You can sprout wings and arise above where you are. She's going to sing for us. If you need to pray this morning, I'll give you what the Lord's laid on my heart. It's up to you now what you'll do with it this morning. Of my life. Are you living in your potential place? Are you sold out? Have you risen above the things of this whole world? Are you muddling around in the muck and the mire? Wallowing like a hog, scratching like a chicken. While God wants you to be an eagle, to soar above those things. We're not forsaken. Fly with the eagles. Don't want to be a chicken. Several years ago, Brother Randy and I were headed to a revival meeting. We went through Birmingham, and there was a sign on the side of the interstate that says, chickens don't have teeth. That's what it said. It said, chickens don't have teeth. Don't be a chicken. What the sign said on a billboard. Advertisement for a dentist office. Caught our attention. Let me say to you this morning, one of the worst things could ever happen when I was a kid would be if somebody called you a chicken. So I want to say to you this morning, don't be a chicken. Spread your wings. Achieve all that the Lord has purposed for your life.
Amen.
Give God your very best. Amen. And He'll honor it. We got nursing home service coming up soon. This afternoon, matter of fact.
I've almost preached till time for nursing home. We got to quit. I got to quit. We're going to pray. Ask the Lord to help us. 2:30 this afternoon. Pray about the meeting. Brother Randy, if you would, lead us to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning.